Once seen as a very American occupation, today cheerleading is a regular feature at some sporting events in Scotland. It's now not unusual to head along to the rugby in Edinburgh and for the Black Diamond troupe to be out prior to the match performing a display. There are youngsters for whom cheerleading is their regular recreational activity and one in which they have an opportunity to improve their flexibility as well as demonstrate their sense of rhythm and belonging to a team. Now, you may wonder what cheerleading has to do with this morning's reading, and I eventually will take you there. However, first of all, I want to enlighten you with a brief history of cheerleading. There are some here who have had the benefit of this knowledge before, but I'm sure a wee re-education in that will not be a worry. For most of us, our introduction to cheerleading will have been through a variety of different films, usually aimed at older children and teens. These films predominantly tell stories of cheerleaders being involved in supporting their school football or sports teams. Beyond the films, we may know that there are those who continue as cheerleaders beyond their school days. Some have the opportunity to use this sporting activity as a way to access entry to college and university, and some may even be able to turn their gymnastic dancing into a profession. As I've said, it's not just the Americans who have the bug for cheerleading. There are now a variety of groups across Scotland. A quick search on the internet will bring up a number of teams and the places they train and perform. Today's cheerleading troops tend to be predominantly female, with boys or men taking part as those throwing and catching the girls or women as they perform the most acrobatic of moves. However, at its conception, cheerleading was a male activity. The early beginnings of cheerleading are from around 1877, when students at Princeton sports games would shout a chant in support of their team. It was a Princeton graduate called Thomas Peebles who had the idea for an organised crowd, cheering at football games in Minnesota in 1884. The term cheerleader was first used at Princeton in 1897 when three male students were especially picked to play this role. They were placed amongst the crowd to cheer for their team and encourage those around to do so as well. But it was in Minnesota in 1898 that a student called Johnny Campbell organised a crowd into a formalised chant for his football team. That was to make him the very first cheerleader. That year also saw the birth of organised cheerleading squads, with six male students called Yell Leaders repeating the original chant by Campbell. By 1907, women had begun to participate in cheering squads, and it was really during the Second World War that they began to dominate the activity. Today, cheerleading is an immensely physical activity that involves tumbling, dancing, jumps, cheers, and stunts. The role of a cheerleader at a sports game is to entertain, they're to motivate, and even to unite spectators. If you're going to be a cheerleader, and perhaps some of you here might be considering it, you need to know about the team you want to support. You have to know their strengths and their weaknesses so that you're able to drive the team when they're in control. You need to know how they should be playing so you know the right words to be shouting at that point. The cheerleader also has to encourage them when their flaws begin to show. You've got to know the rules so that cheers are appropriately used. I obviously am not a cheerleader. I'd like to think I might be. But our readings offer us an opportunity to look at the strengths and qualities of wisdom. But like a cheerleader, we're drawn into the little discussion about the notion of wisdom as a woman, of God's Spirit as female. It has that kind of duality of nature. Is it male? Is it female? The text's not meant to be divisive by describing wisdom as a woman. The thought is that sages responsible for teaching in the ancient Near East cast wisdom as a woman because much of the literature would be addressed to young men. For them, female figures were a compelling way to talk about desire. And so in this passage, young men are to hanker after wisdom. Their desire is to be for wisdom. But for the modern reader, the notion of wisdom as a woman, as the Spirit of God present at creation as female, addresses the imbalance of understanding of God. It opens the possibility that man and woman are created in God's image, for within the image of God are female qualities. Linguistically, it responds to the gender of the Hebrew word for spirit. Of course, when we read this morning, what we read this morning contrasts something from the previous chapter, where Folly is also described as a woman, a prostitute-like figure who is crafty, loud, and defiant. However, Wisdom's a prophetess, standing in the midst of people and demanding attention. She's not quietly working in the background, but instead a guiding force in all human affairs. With its multiple definitions of wisdom, chapter 8 of Proverbs gives voice to the vibrancy of wisdom. She's valuable, bestowing wealth on those who love her. The second part of our reading picks up on that vibrancy of wisdom as it describes her indispensable role in creation. In the passage, we hear wisdom described in some translations as being like a master worker, while in other translation it reads like a little child. And surprisingly, the Hebrew word can be translated either way. The first, however, carries on that notion of wisdom, of the Spirit of God as a craft person who assists God in the formation of the world. Our reading offers a diverse personality for wisdom. Is she seen as either helpmate or little child or prophetess or prostitute? And perhaps that leads me nicely back to our cheerleaders. I can't imagine that any of us see ourselves as cheerleaders. There'll be a few who think they're just too old. Maybe you think you're the wrong gender, not suitably attired. In fact, if you've listened to the whole history, none of those seem to count. I wonder if the cheerleader is a possible modern way in which to hanker after the presence of God in our lives. Uncomfortable with the notion of prostituting ourselves that others might encounter the presence of God in our lives, maybe we might be more comfortable with the notion of the Spirit of God as a cheerleader, inspiring us to lead the cheers for the kingdom of heaven. The Spirit of God stands on the sidelines of creation, calling out encouraging cries that we might give of our best for others to encounter. To encounter Christ in our lives. Like a cheerleader, the Spirit of God knows the rules of the game of life. And so when we're in trouble, when our flaws are beginning to show, she runs onto the field every so often just to remind us of the skills we need if we're really going to play our part in getting to the end of the game. But she also inspires us to be leading the cries that speak of God with us. She calls on us to use who we are and what we can already offer to ensure that others meet Christ. And then when they meet Christ, may they find encouraging signs in their lives and know that the Spirit of God is with them in all they do. Amen.